Who made this road? Eddie asked. People who have been gone a long time, Roland said.
The same ones who made the cups and dishes we found? Susanna asked.
No, not them. This used to be a coach road, I imagine, and if it's still here after all these years of neglect, it must have been a great one indeed, perhaps the great road. If we dug down, I imagine we'd find the gravel undersurface, and maybe the drainage system as well. As long as we're here, let's have a bite to eat.
Food! Eddie cried. Bring it on! Chicken Florentine, Polynesian shrimp, veal lightly sautéed with mushrooms, and
Susanna elbowed him. Quit it, white boy.
I can't help it if I've got a vivid imagination, Eddie said cheerfully.
Roland slipped his purse off his shoulder, hunkered down, and began to put together a small noon meal of dried meat wrapped in olive-colored leaves. Eddie and Susanna had discovered that these leaves tasted a little like spinach, only much stronger. Eddie wheeled Susanna over to him, and Roland handed her three of what Eddie called gunslinger burritos. She began to eat. When Eddie turned back, Roland was holding out three of the wrapped pieces of meat to him, and something else as well. It was the chunk of ash with the key growing out of it. Roland had taken it off the rawhide string, which now lay in an open loop around his neck.
Hey, you need that, don't you? Eddie asked.
When I take it off, the voices return, but they're very distant, Roland said. I can deal with them. Actually, I hear them even when I'm wearing it, like the voices of men who are speaking low over the next hill. I think that's because the key is yet unfinished. You haven't worked on it since you gave it to me.
Well, you were wearing it, and I didn't want to...
Roland said nothing, but his faded blue eyes regarded Eddie with their patient teacher's look.
All right, Eddie said. I'm afraid of fucking it up. Satisfied?
According to your brother, you fucked everything up, isn't that right?
Susanna asked.
Susanna Dean, girl psychologist. You missed your calling, sweetheart.
Susanna wasn't offended by the sarcasm. She lifted the water skin with her elbow like a redneck tipping a jug and drank deeply.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Eddie, who realized he hadn't finished the slingshot either, not yet at least, shrugged.
You have to finish it, Roland said mildly. I think the time is coming when you'll have to put it to use.
Eddie started to speak, then closed his mouth. It sounded easy when you said it right out like that, but neither of them really understood the bottom line. The bottom line was this: 70%, or 80, or even 98.5 just wouldn't do. Not this time. And if he did screw up, he couldn't just toss the thing over his shoulder and walk away. For one thing, he hadn't seen another ash tree since the day he had cut this particular piece of wood. But mostly, the thing that was fucking him up was just this. It was all or nothing. If he messed up even a little, the key wouldn't turn when they needed it to turn. And he was increasingly nervous about that little squiggle at the end. It looked simple, but if the curves weren't exactly right...
It won't work the way it is now, though. That much you do know.
He sighed, looking at the key. Yes, that much he did know. He would have to try to finish it. His fear of failure would make it even harder than it maybe had to be, but he would have to swallow the fear and try anyway. Maybe he could even bring it off. God knew he had brought off a lot in the weeks since Roland had entered his mind on a Delta jet bound into JFK Airport. That he was still alive and sane was an accomplishment in itself. Eddie handed the key back to Roland. "Wear it for now," he said. "I'll go back to work when we stop for the night."
"Promise?"
"Yeah." Roland nodded, took the key, and began to re-knot the rawhide string. He worked slowly, but Eddie did not fail to notice how dexterously the remaining fingers on his right hand moved. The man was nothing if not adaptable.
"Something is going to happen, isn't it?" Susanna asked suddenly.
Eddie glanced up at her.
"What makes you say so?"
"I sleep with you, Eddie, and I know you dream every night now. Sometimes you talk, too. They don't seem like nightmares, exactly, but it's pretty clear that something is going on inside your head."
"Yes, something is. I just don't know what."
"Dreams are powerful," Roland remarked. "You don't remember the ones you're having at all?" Eddie hesitated.
"A little, but they're confused. I'm a kid again.
I know that much. It's after school. Henry and I are shooting hoops at the old Markey Avenue playground, where the juvenile court building is now. I want Henry to take me to see a place over in Dutch Hill, an old house. The kids used to call it the mansion, and everyone said it was haunted. Maybe it even was. It was creepy, I know that much. Real creepy.
Eddie shook his head, remembering.
I thought of the mansion for the first time in years when we were in the bear's clearing, and I put my head close to that weird box. I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm having the dream.
But you don't think so, Susanna said.
No.
I think whatever's happening is a lot more complicated than just remembering stuff.